Good morning. This is the Chorus Call operator. Welcome to Generalfinance conference call presenting Q3 2024 results. Let me remind you that all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, a Q&A session will be held. The presentation is available on the website www.generalfinance.it. In order to be assisted by an operator during the conference call, press star and zero on your phone handset. Let me now turn the conference over to Mr. Massimo Gianolli, CEO of Generalfinance. Mr. Gianolli, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning to all of you. Welcome. I will follow the presentation starting from page five, where we can see the growth of our turnover in volumes. We had an excellent Q3 with 2.1 in turnover and an 18% growth versus the market growth, which was around 1%. So definitely something we are very proud and satisfied of. Next page. We are very happy because the growth in our net income is 27%, landing at 13.6 million. And if we compare it to the CAGR of the time spanning 2021-2023, you see it's even higher than the same time frame, where we had a sizable increase of 26%. We are slightly above budget, so we are satisfied because the profitability of our company keeps being highly performing. If we move on to page eight now, we see that the cost of risk is still under control, well under control, despite the strong increase in volume, and the NPE ratio is around 1.5 versus 3.42, which is the average market figure. So from that perspective too, we do not see any specific issues to be mentioned also going forward, also bearing in mind that of course, we will then give you the end of year results. On page nine, you see something that we're very much focusing on. This is a breakdown of all the mitigation factors we've put in place to mitigate risk. 445 million worth of financial assets. have been mitigating risk, starting from, of course, insurance coverage, 56 million, and it's 50 times the premium, net premium covered by to the company, to the insurance company. We pay about 1 million per year, and as you can see, the net of our umbrella coverage is equal to 56 million. Then we have, as you well know, which is our strength, historically our strength. Of course, we have outstanding, not advanced, 99 million, so with recourse factoring. And then we have personal guarantees released by third parties, sizable amount, again, 48 million. So the overall coverage ratio is 45%, which takes the net total risk down to 242 million. Very interesting to notice on page 10 is the collection performance, the payment condition DSO, which is slightly higher. It's still, well, our company, if we compare ourselves against the market, as you can see on the left-hand side of the chart, we're still slightly, we have a shorter DSO than the market, but what I would like to dwell on, and I dwell on every time we meet, is the right-hand side of the chart, because it's very important to perform on payment delays. And as you can see, 97% of Generalfinance portfolio has no payment delays. They are cash collected on their natural maturity, and then 1% within 30 days, and the remaining part is collected within 30 to 60 days following. So that is very meaningful because this 97% is versus a 24% delivered by the market. So that really depicts our ability to deliver services to our clients and also to be highly performing on the collection side, to be very fast, very selective at first when we select our portfolio, and then very efficient and effective when it comes to collecting, rapidly collecting, of course, for the advantage, the benefit of General Finance and General Finance clients. Page 11, as I told you, the company's DSO is slightly higher. We've often answered your questions in the previous quarters because if you remember, at the end of 2023, the process we put in place to cut DSOs was then reversed, and towards the end of 2023, it was picking up again. And now, September 2024, we have 74.5 days, very close to the market average, as you see above on the, which has always been between 78 and 80 days. Nothing changes as far as our business model is concerned. You can see that on page 12, where it's a one-of-a-kind business model. You see at the central in the pie, in the lower part, our universe is the universe of companies that need to be taken care of, that need to, that have, that are not very appealing for the financing world, the banking world, but have good industrial fundamentals. As you can see in the score, the pie at the bottom of the chart, you have only a 5% of red companies, and then we have a big part of a small, very small part, which are black, 0.3. It's very, very small. And then the yellow part is very big, 61.9. And the reverse is true. If you look at the top pie chart, where you have 61.2% green. What do we mean by this? Because the companies that are that do not have access to loans normally work with companies that have a greater appeal, companies that then determine the collection performance that we saw on the previous slide. One of the main secrets, however, is that in the top part, and that really makes us proud of our collection performance, you see the assigned debtors. We have a yellow part, 21.5%, and red, 14.4%, and black, 3%. It could be companies who are in bankruptcy procedure or insolvency procedure, and really governing all of these debts. And of course, we want to be the outsourcee of many of our companies. We can really have an excellent performance in our portfolio, also considering the breakdown you see in the two pie charts, and you see how much the added value we provide and that is perceived by the market and by all stakeholders. We have 75% of our with recourse factoring or recourse factoring, considering the ACIB figures, whilst non-recourse factoring is about 25%, whilst reverse factoring is about 79% of our turnover, covered by insurance policies that we have with Allianz Trade. The very important thing, the fundamental thing here, is that we're always talk about how important it is to break things down. You see the customer breakdown, bottom right. So the number of clients, the number of debtor sellers is 1 to 10 versus the market. About 7 assigned debtors per seller would be the market average, whilst 72 is our average. It's General Finance's average. So that is also very important, just as important it is that our customers, on average, and there again we are growing, are very loyal to General Finance for a much longer time, is 6.6 years. So they're loyal to us for a longer time, which means that customers that start working with General Finance are then still clients of General Finance after the insolvency procedure or after the restructuring or whatever. On page 13, you see the figures that are generated by our digital platform. You see it's been rolling over the last 12 months, 645,000 total transactions. And another strength that I would like to underline, and that I started even before the IPO process, this digital platform really helps us manage a huge amount of sellers, you see, and 279 and assigned debtors that are in excess of 20,000. We're talking about assigned debtors in Italy and abroad. About 25% is the turnover that is connected to foreign assigned debtors. And well, during the IPO I expressed, you see 381,000 invoices leading to 429 installments and 176,000 recorded mail, PEC as you call it in Italy, or recorded delivery mail. And that is 15,000 automatic disbursements, 13,000 automatic disposal. And so we talk about very, very sizable figures on all other elements that make up our digital platform. I'm not going to go back and tell you about them because I've told you about them in the previous quarter, so they're now part and parcel of our day-to-day routine. Going back to further details on figures, I hand it over to our CFO, Ugo Colombo, to then leave room for questions. Thank you very much, Ugo. You have the floor. Thank you, Massimo. Thank you all. I'm on page 15 of the presentation, and as always, here we show you a summary of the main items in our P&L and our income statement, starting from the top. Very positive performance of our top line, NII, which is speeding up in this quarter. The yearly figure is around 35%. It was 30% in the previous quarter. We've further improved the spread in this NII growth. Net commissions are flat, around 27% as in the previous quarter, with net banking income, which is close to 30%, with a very positive performance, reflecting both a growth in volumes, but also an excellent performance on the profitability side, as we will see in the following slide. The cost of risk for this quarter is practically almost to zero. 1.3 is the full year figure, flat versus the previous quarter, as we had already said during the 6 monthly report. And that really, write-backs were very positive for the quarter. And then operating costs went down versus the yearly growth rate. End of June, we were 16%. So total operating costs are 14% year on year. And so we are back to the historical cost performance, around 14-15%. And as you can see for the CAGR in 21-2023. And with the net profit going up 27%, plus 27%. Cost income ratio is further improving versus the previous quarter. We are at 33.6% and we were in excess of 40% in 2021. So the operating leverage has been improved by more than 7 percentage points, and ROE is in excess of 30%. So improving versus 27-28% of the previous quarter. From the point of view of our balance sheet, in the quarter we had an increase to 445 million of loans and 13% over the year of assets, and a similar amount of total liabilities from 445 million. Total shareholders' equity in excess of 70 million. We land at 73 million. So if we move on to page 16, I'll just comment on the lower part of the slide. Capital ratios are very favorable as a trend versus the previous quarter, even though we have an increase in of about 30 million in credit, and CET1 ratio lands at 15.2, and total capital ratio lands at 16.7%, which is double the amount that is the regulatory requirement for general funds, and CRR of 8, as stated, is would be 8%, and we have 16. So the RWA density indicator, you see in the gray boxes on the left, went down to 73% in the quarter, was about 85% at the end of 2023 and around 82% in the previous quarter, thanks to a number of maximizing for actions for RWA and guarantees. The guarantees that were enforced during the quarter, we managed to cut RWA, leading to a strong improvement on the of this indicator, which should hover around 73% also in the coming quarters. Page 17, you see the breakdown of our funding. Let's look at the bottom part of the slide. Total available funding in line with the previous quarter was about 720 million through different funding lines and facilities, with a use of about 500 million, and considering the financial debt and non-recourse factoring, plus the accounts, the tied accounts, lead us to liquidity available, well, counterbalancing about 323 million euro, unchanged versus the previous quarter. So despite the increase in the issued facilities, we have the same counterbalancing, which is about 80%, is worth about 80% of the disbursed loans. And we acquired that through a highly diversified funding structure, which is mainly tied in with committed instruments. Page 18, net interest margin or income is further improving thanks to the repricing of our assets and boosting of funding is improved by 30 euro cents year on year. So we go back to the figures we had between 21 and 22, and then the decline in 2023 due to the repricing of interest paid. And then page 19, net commission income, it's again in line with the previous quarter, especially the commission income, as you see in the 130 basis points, 1.3% in the clear green, in line with the previous quarter. And then we, in dark green, we go from commission income with the commissions improved versus turnover thanks to improved DSO collection to 120 basis points. Page 20, before I give the floor back to our CEO, we have a breakdown of our cost income. The yearly performance is 14-15%, which is the average of the last 3 to 5 years, whilst in the breakdown you see a very positive trend of other admin expenses, DNAs, with a total of about down 1%, minus 1% year on year, thanks to a number of cost items that were mainly linked with consultancies and one-off deals that were recorded in 2023. And then up 14% the year on year, Our personal account went up. We keep investing. We are now at 76 FTEs as of end of September. So we keep investing on people, on our platform. We've strengthened most of our key areas starting from 2021. We've increased our headcount by 50% almost to really strengthen most of our departments in-house. Let me hand it over to Massimo to draw conclusions. Thank you very much, Ugo, to provide a number of very meaningful data. And among everything Ugo mentioned from a sales perspective, we are really performing well, and we have a large number of companies that were assigned, others that are being added to the companies that are our clients that we are funding already. And we had a very meaningful growth also in those activities where we have conventions or we share commercial platforms with other partners and stakeholders who work with us for a long time. And having the opportunity to grow, we have opened a subsidiary in Madrid. We're just waiting for the final green light from the Bank of Italy, which should it should happen by mid-September, according to what the regulators stated, and then we should be able to formally start our sales activities in that country as well. In Madrid, we have a team, as Ugo underlined. Our FTEs, our headcount, our working team and our platform. I've been in this company for 36 years and there are dozens of people who've been with me for over 20 years. And, of course, more people joined us who are very much connected to our company and gave a contribution to our growth and the strengthening of our team. So another important element is that in Madrid, too, we could see that there was a lot of interest for our company and we somehow interacted with all the stakeholders, the same channels that we are working on in Italy we've been working on in Italy for a number of years. And so the feeling I had was a very, very positive one indeed, a confident one. So we can confirm the figures that were provided and disclosed to the market. So turnover in excess of 3 million and a net profit in excess of 20 million. That's the previous guidance we reconfirmed. I'll stop here and leave it for you to ask a question. This is the Scores Call operator. This is now the Q&A session. If you want to ask a question, please press star and one on your handsets. To be removed from the Q&A queue, press star and two. Please ask your question using your handsets. If you want to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. Thank you. First question comes from the line of Luigi Tramontana with Banca Akros. Go ahead, sir. Good morning. Well, thank you for your presentation. Congratulations are in order for the excellent results you achieved. I very much liked slide number 9, where you really explain the coverage and the net risk you have on your portfolio. It's a net risk that is basically half versus the assets, versus the loans you are disbursing. And you did an excellent job when it comes to maximizing RWA density, as Mr. Colombo was saying, with more guarantees. I was wondering whether you've identified more levers that you could act upon to use standard models to further improves your RWAs to further improve your shareholders' equity, to be able to have volumes grow even further at a time in which economy instead is slowing down. So, and then second question, given the background, the economic and financial background, we're probably going to facing a structural crisis such as in the automotive industry. What are your expectations, not for this year, which is ending, but for 2025? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Luigi. I will leave it up to Ugo to answer the first part of the question based on slide 9 and the connection to RWAs, and then I'll tell you about our expectations for 2025. Very well, Luigi. As to RWAs, the room for maneuvering is not endless, of course, as we work with corporates. And as you unfortunately underlined, regulators are finding it difficult to really highlight the low level of risk in the factoring industry. We've had talks about the fact that commercial lending in the factoring industry is not as risky as other types of business. And so we have this density that is imposed upon and that is lower, that is normally different from that of an ordinary bank, and it should be lower. Talking about such guarantees, it's a very important thing for us, given the fact that the state over the last few years highlighted a clear will to take action to support corporates that are undergoing difficulties, such as they do with many funds, where they buy equity, not just debt. And that really makes us see an opportunity there to be able to use certain bracket of companies that in the past were completely excluded from the pool that could get state guarantees. But now maybe we could do a surgical work, but find companies that are going through a turnaround. And maybe there's also the opportunity. We haven't done it yet, but there'd be the opportunity to use NCC guarantees also for factoring business in our core business, which is another interesting channel. And partly, with a way that tax credit, for instance, VAT credits, that would be different from the usual one. This is something we've activated in the few months, which has a zero risk because it's and could be used as a cross-selling tool vis-à-vis traditional mainstream customers that now they go to other operators to somehow discount their VAT credits or assets. And now we're starting to somehow use them in a from a recurring way, from a recurring perspective. We've done so for a few months now. And from a regulatory viewpoint, Basel IV I'm referring to, that will come into force as January 2025, but it provides some benefits. One on external ratings. We have the weighting of assets versus the assigned debtors, both in Italy and abroad, and there seem to be a more favorable treatment of this credit ratings by rating agencies that are recognized. And these two intervention could give 20-30 euro cents benefits starting from January 2025. These are more or less the areas that we are focusing on. Let me add something to answer the second question.
We would like to reiterate that the banking system finds it difficult to lend money to SMEs, and more specifically to high-risk SMEs and SMEs that are going through a UTP phase. This is a trend that is interesting for us also in view of the partnerships that I mentioned before, our partnerships, because for the banking system to speed up transactions that would lead to de-risking or working with somebody like us who has a lot of experience in the field could be beneficial to both the banking world and the client corporates. Of course, we see a slowdown of economy. We see the need for corporates somehow to deal with the money that was injected into the system during COVID and that has to be paid back. So sometimes we see a restructuring of that kind of debt. And if you put that together and the automotive industry issues, and not just the automotive, but it's a crisis, it's weighing on them. And then if you put it together with all the other things I told you about, this gives us a good visibility of how much we assume to be able to grow going forward, where from our perspective, we see many positive factors, and that is proven by the figures we've just disclosed as at the end of September, and now from now until the end of December. So we've set a trend, we've set a pace, and we think that 2025 will start with the right opportunities. There'll be even more opportunities with the right pace and the opportunities. Next question comes from Simonetta Chiriotti with Mediobanca. Go ahead, madam. Good morning. I have a couple of questions for you. The first one, you mentioned a couple of times partnerships and platforms. I would like for you to somehow elaborate on that. Could you explain what we're talking about? Is it just a small change in your operations, or could you give a more detailed descriptions of those partnerships? And then second question, concerning working voice, are there any updates on how things are doing there? And on Spain, you talk about opening by year end. So do you think you can be fully up and running in the first few months of 2025? Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, Simonetta. Let me start from the partnerships. They're part of our very history. It's very difficult that we change successful ingredients. They are part and parcel of the good results we achieved through our project. We are coming up with more structured partnerships and agreements so that we can seize opportunities that are, and we do so with the banking world, with funds, with all the stakeholders that are working with us. The fact that we are now larger in size gives us opportunity to interact with these players as a preferred suppliers, with these partners, with these players. And we're studying agreements that are better structured and more on an industrial base, better organized, if you wish. Working voice, there was an issue that slowed down the process, and that was mainly due to that was mainly emerged in July, and it was it slowed the process down. We are constantly interacting with Bank of Italy. I like a way that the theme is partly being solved. It's no longer an issue, apparently. We are redefining the timeline with the Bank of Italy for the agreement to be enforced. We are confident to be able to give you an update in the short term, give you more final, definitive information in the short term, going from remedial actions to that we've defined with the working voice partners, and the remedial actions that we have come up with to submit to Bank of Italy, and we think so that we think we can close the process. And meanwhile, working voice is floating, keeping afloat, so there are no negative elements. They have enough funding to run their business as usual, so to say. Of course, we're all waiting to get the green line and be able to support working voices and integrate it into general finance as per our projects. We've already opened the office in Spain. It's the business area. We are just a few meters from the Santiago Bernabeu football stadium, where there are a huge number of companies located. We've opened our head office. We've appointed Jose Privano as head of the Spanish division. So we've already identified the person, and we've already opened all channels. Should the Bank of Italy no longer come up with any further comments, the silent assent would expire on December the 15th. So should we get in the meantime more communication? If we don't get any more comments from the Bank of Italy starting from December the 16th, we'll start signing the first contract in Spain too. It's an interesting market. And we start the business there, we'll be able to further embed, further add to our business thanks to the new Spanish market starting from 2025. Davide Rimini, Intesa San Paolo, the next question. Go ahead, sir. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation and congratulations on the results achieved. Most of my questions have already been answered, but I have page 9 again. I'd like to have something clarified. And there you introduced this slide in the last quarters. What is the main difference versus the 6-monthly report? It's personal guarantees, if I understand correctly. Could you elaborate on that? What kind of performance do you expect from personal guarantees? And as to the coverage ratio that you are showing on the slide, do you have a target in mind? And then the second question is always a clarification I would like to have with reference to slide number 11 on DSOs. You said that there was an increase over the quarter, but there's no reference made to the market, the comparison with the market. I understand that you may not have this information, but do you think that this increase will be accompanied by a mirrored performance in the market as well, or is it just something you are seeing for yourself and not necessarily as also a reflection of what the market is doing? And then one last question concerning the info you gave us on cost income ratio, page 22, if I'm not mistaken, where you see a further reduction, if I'm not mistaken, you said 30% as a reference, as a target, if I understand, I remember correctly. I think it was achieved during the quarter, but were you instead showing further room for improvement by giving that figure? Ugo, maybe you can start, and then I'll add something. That was Massimo Giannoli speaking. Very well. As to page 9, you rightly said you grasped the personal guarantees performance. In the quarter, we acquired more personal guarantees, so it's patronage letters or for some of our positions. Sometimes we have private equity funds investing in special situations. So thanks to the type of finance that is covering the working capital requirements, so some of these very well-known private equity funds, they can release patronage letters to general finance for the benefit of general finance. And then there were, of course, specific cases consistently with what we've done in the 90s. We acquired further personal guarantees, some factoring facilities with specific active, where there are advances on orders. Of course, we normally ask to cover risk a release of personal guarantees from the part of the controlling shareholders. And that happened over this quarter, thus increasing the amount of available personal guarantees. As to DSOs, as you said on page 11, DSOs, if we compare it with Assifact data, over the last couple of years, there's always been a delta, a gap between us and the market. As you can see on the screen, it's been 9-10 days as a gap. And the gap was partly bridged over the course of Q3. So now we are at 75 and the system average is about 80. So the gap was narrowed. As you say, this is not in our full control, as you stressed. It's not under our full control. So the declining of rates should be beneficial, especially for B2B. And there's a lower cost of credit, cost of debt, and so DSOs could be extended and could lead to, if confirmed, could if with an expected Euribor of around 200 basis points from here until, 18 months down the line, it should bring General Finance DSO back on its historical track. And then we talked about VAT credits. We're trying through a number of cross-selling actions to increase. I'm thinking of the National Plan for Recovery and Resilience and companies that have longer contracts than the usual DSOs. We normally manage 60 to 90 days, so they have a different mix as well. That should maybe lead to an improvement. It's a piece of information that's imposed upon us because it's payment conditions that are defined between supplier and client. And then we have a management that is as proactive as possible, through a collateral action. Cost income, it's what you said is correct. We've always talked about 30%, which according to us, it's a limit that it's hard to further compress, so to say. And this further reduction is indeed positive. It will have to be reassessed in the light of the new business plan and the new commercial initiatives we are launching and we have launched. So normally we would start with a higher cost income than that of General Finance, where we've been leveraging 30 years of economies of scale. So theoretically, it's 30%. We'll have to see over the next 2-3 years in the light of the major investments we're going to make, especially as far as our growth internationally is concerned. Thank you. You summarized everything. That's okay. Mr. Giannoli, there are no more questions in the queue for the time being. Well, thank you very much. Then I would like to thank all the participants. I would like to thank my team that enabled us to really be effective in our performance. And so thank you very much for joining us, and we'll talk to you at the next opportunity. This is the Course Call Operator. You may disconnect your phones. Have a good day. Thank you.